Blog Talk Radio.
Train of thought, and tonight I have with me T. Brooks, co-host of the Sport Talks, also featured here on Sports Addict Radio. How you doing here, T?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. You know, I got a belly full of food and a roof over my head, so you know, can't be too bad. You know, we're going to talk some NFL tonight, and I know that you dabble in the NBA as well. So the breaking news today is my Chicago Bulls went ahead and traded Derrick Rose, former MVP. I believe the year was 2009, and ever since then, it's just been a question every single year after he got injured, is he going to get back to form? Is he going to get back to form? So, for me personally, like I just said, I'm a Bulls fan. This is awesome for me. I mean, I'm not crazy about the players that we got, but I would have been even more mad if we would have handed him a max deal after this next year. What are your thoughts on Derrick Rose being traded to the New York Knicks?
I won't say it's a win-win because I guess until you know exactly, you won't be able to say it's a win for the Knicks until the end of the season, basically, mm-hmm. to see if he's played a whole season and he's been healthy. Now, if he can be healthy, I think he definitely can contribute. And it's a good pickup for them because they, you know, with Carmelo Anthony, Derrick Rose is not a score-first guy all the time, but he can be the scorer mm-hmm. if he needs to be. And Carmelo, you know, he looks to score first. But with Porzingis, I just think it's a good combination on the offensive end. Now, you might lose a little bit. Well, I mean, Derrick Rose is a pretty good defender also. But Carmelo is not a defensive guy, so I think you lose a little bit of defense with was it Robin Lopez? I always get him and Brooke mixed up with teams they all
right.
had. But I think it was Robin Lopez, and I think it's good for the Bulls to get him because you're gonna need a big man because I don't think Noah would be there this upcoming
right.
season. I think he's out of there. So you're going to need a big man to replace him. So,
you know, thing about it is the talks have been kind of going for a couple weeks now between him and also Jimmy Butler, who is my favorite player on the team. And, you know, this would have drove me nuts if we would have shipped Butler to Minnesota like it was being talked about with the Wiggins trade. Now that definitely feels like it's on the back burner, and that's probably not going to happen. We don't see a lot of teams, you know, just trade their best two players away for no reason. You know, Derrick Rose was getting paid money, I mean, good money, and he was due to get paid even more money after this year. So, I mean, even if we did keep him this year, I don't think that we would keep him going forward, so why not get something of value out of him? Because, I mean, in all honesty, we just missed the playoffs for the first time in, like, I think 6 or 7 years, and it just doesn't feel like we really have a chance next year. So why not make some changes? And you know what? I mean, I'm just going to throw this out there, but we're getting rid of some money, and you kind of have to spend money. You know, there is a salary floor. You do have to spend money, so don't be surprised if the Chicago Bulls get into that Kevin Durant sweepstakes or Russell Westbrook, and I mean hard, going after one of these two. You know, that's a likely, I mean, train of thought. for many GMs, regardless of their situation, is, hey, how do you think we could land a guy like Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook? And making moves like this early before this even starts, before the free agency period even starts, maybe they are sending silent signals out there that maybe I'm only picking up because I haven't heard anything about Kevin Durant or the Bulls or any sort of interest like that. But it is still fairly early. Do you have any thoughts on the Kevin Durant sweepstakes and maybe the chances of him wearing that black and red?
I really don't think so. I really, to be honest with you, Kevin Durant, the best scenario for him would be to sign a 1-year deal and stay in OKC because Westbrook won't be a free agent until next year. And with the way things are going, you know, if they get a piece here and there, I mean, they were not too far from making the finals. I mean, they were right there. I think another year experience will help them move even further. The West is just a juggernaut right now. I think, you know, with Jimmy Butler there, that is a good piece, but who would you prefer to play with? I know the Bulls is your team, but who would you want to play with, Jimmy Butler or Russell Westbrook?
Play with them both. Jimmy Butler, shooting guard, man.
Well, you know, I think it'd be rough I don't think Chicago could land both of them next year, but, you know, because the case, they would definitely have to stand pat the rest of this year and not go out and try to sign anybody big, which they might do anyway. And I heard some rumors, too, about Jimmy Butler. That would be a mistake to get rid of him anyway. You'd definitely rebuild if you let him go.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was trying to say, you know, a couple of guys at lunch, we were talking and stuff about it, and on one side of my ear, I got someone, my buddy Tommy, saying, keep Rose, man, Rose is the man, this and that, and I'm just sitting here, like, flabbergasted, like, how many two-way, like, good, because Jimmy Butler's he's a hell of a defender, too, how many two-way players are there at that high of a level in the NBA right now? You know, it's pretty slim. So if you got one of those guys, you know, taking up your shooting guard spot, then don't get rid of him. You know, if he can play defense on both or offense and defense, you know, there's plenty of guys you can point to who can put up plenty of points but don't play defense. You know, the prime example is James Harden. But, you know, so the trade talks maybe aren't completely over with Butler and Minnesota, but I sure as heck hope so. You know, I only got you for a half hour here, so we're going to kind of move on to something else, and it's something oriented around your Washington Redskins, and that would be Jamison Crowder, who he had a pretty decent rookie year. I think they're expecting big things out of him this upcoming year. So he is getting plenty of press and, you know, in the locker room and stuff like that. So some guys kind of take advantage of it, right? And Jamison Crowder went out and said that they have the best set of wide receivers in the NFL. Okay? So what I want to do now, you know, we're not going to go, you know, too in-depth into it, but just kind of spitball our top fives and see if the Redskins land anywhere near mine or your opinions. But first, I want to hear your initial reaction to Jamison Crowder, who is on your team. What that does, is it a confidence booster? Is it a smokescreen? What is it? What do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, him being a second-year player, I kind of wish he wouldn't have said that. A similar thing was said a couple years ago, and the team basically flamed out that year. I just wish that he wouldn't have said that. I mean, I understand, you know, guys have to have confidence in themselves and in their team, But going into your second year, I mean, the sophomore slump is a big word that's used a lot. And he got to make sure that, you know, teams can prepare for you after they've seen what you like to do. So,
but at the same time, you know, I said that they're expecting big things out of him, but they still have guys. They still have Doxson and Jackson and Pierre Garçon. So Jameson Crowder isn't in the, you know, Julio Jones island where you know that he's the receiver on the team. So a guy like him maybe can say that. But if Julio said it, you'd be like, you're lying. Okay, like we know that it's just you out there. And but Crowder, he has a point to an extent. So I kind of want to jump into this now, and I want to hear your five, four, and three for top five wide receiver groups. No running backs or tight ends, just strictly wideouts.
I hadn't put a lot of thought into it. I have thought about it throughout the day, hearing those comments earlier and just going through different scenarios. It's one of those things where it's subject to change a lot.
Sure, yeah.
But, I mean, number five, I can honestly say I probably would say the Oakland Raiders. I mean.
Oh, okay.
With Amari Cooper and Crabtree. Just with those two guys, I think they complement each other because you saw as the year went on, people put more stock into stopping Cooper because, you know, him being a rookie. The first couple of probably 6-7 weeks, people didn't know exactly what to expect out of him. But then Crabtree kind of stepped up, and that
was
a way for him to get paid.
Last year. He impressed
say it again?
Last year. He impressed me last year as a number two.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool that, you know, he wanted to be the number one guy and really, like, flaunted it in San Francisco. And then he goes to the Raiders, and he kind of gets comfortable in that number two. And when the spotlight's not on him, he seems to be more productive, even if he's not putting up the type of numbers that he wants to. He's making a big impact by putting up those kind of numbers as a number two. And, you know, like I said, it still goes deeper than just those guys. You know, Seth Roberts and the other Moore, right? Or, something like that. So they do have a pretty deep wide receiver group. And I don't have them up there, but me and Dave, my buddy Dave on our podcast, a little while back, I had Oakland as the ninth best wide receiver group, so it's in the ballpark. I want to hear your four and three real quick.
Now, with number four, it's kind of hard for me to, if I knew what kind of Victor Cruz I was going to get, I would definitely put them there, but they definitely have, I'll say, one of the top three receivers in Odell Beckham Jr.
Sure.
And if you get a semblance of the Victor Cruz that we saw in the past, and you know, I go a lot with two-headed monsters and then everybody else compliments that, you know, I'm just going to put it that way. I think the New York Giants definitely have some weapons. I mean, with and like I say, the mainstay. With
so
Beckham,
they're number
Jr.
four?
Yeah, number four.
Okay. Number three?
Number three. I like... See, with a rookie, it's kind of hard to say, and especially with a second-year player. But I definitely like what Minnesota has and what Stephon Diggs came to the table with later on in the year.
Okay.
Well, You know what? Let me scratch that. I think, to me, I probably would put the Redskins right there at that number three position. Just because, I mean, you're looking at one of the best deep threats in the league with DeSean Jackson. I know Jerry doesn't like Pierre Garçon. He said he can't catch a cold, but he is a good possession receiver in my book. I mean, he catches things that shouldn't be caught a lot of times, and it's mostly when somebody's around him. Now, when he's wide open, that's a different story sometimes. But
right.
He makes those tough catches in the middle of a pack or with a defender draped on him. So I would go with number three right there.
Okay. My five is – that's where I have the Washington Redskins. It is a kind of – you know, there's more uncertainty than the teams above. We know what Josh Doctson can be, but can he be that at the NFL level? Jamison Crowder coming into his second year. Can DeSean stay healthy? That's been a big question since he signed that contract. And, you know, Pierre Garçon can – you know, he's about 3 years removed, I believe, from catching 100 balls in a season. So can he get back to that kind of Pierre, or who is going to get all those receptions? So somebody's got to catch the football for Kirk Cousins. And we know that Kirk likes to throw it around the field, and he does spread out. But if he can, because it doesn't really seem like he's got a go-to guy, you know, so... If I believe Josh Doctson's going to be that guy, and they're going to click early, and you're going to see probably about week 4 or 5, maybe even right out of the gate, but that's when we'll really see him come out. So if word of advice, you know, fantasy football, I'd grab Josh Doctson pretty late and stash him on your bench, because I don't think he's going very high this year.
But this is the one thing, the reservation that I have with Doctson is that he's been already having a little bit of issues with injury. Achilles has bothered him. I think he had a little bit of a knee issue. I know Jay Gruden said that he probably could have came in and done something at the end of the mini camps, but he just wanted to be precautionary. Mm-hmm. But the only thing is, when those bullets start flying and people start hitting you, then what is going to be the issue? He hadn't faced NFL corners or NFL tackling or hitting yet. So that's the one reservation that I have, and that's why I kind of withdrew what I was about to say about Minnesota, because it's just until these guys show me something, it's kind of hard for me to just say automatically that they are the, you know, up there. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to throw my 4 and 3 out there, and then we're going to take a quick station break. Like I said, the teams above are just, like, deeper and more, like, established. You know, number 4, believe it or not, I kind of like the Jets there. You know, they ran the most 5 wide sets in the NFL last year. And when Brandon Marshall is still a top 5 receiver, that never changed ever since he went to Chicago. He's been a top 5 receiver since, like, 2009 or something, 2010. So he's very consistent, along with Eric Decker, who caught double-digit touchdowns last year. They drafted Devin Smith. They still got Jeremy Curley, I believe, maybe. You know, they're pretty deep in the wide receiver group. Quarterback, I think it's going to be a system thing. I think they're going to be all right over there, whoever's under center, to be honest with you. Maybe not as much as Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I don't think they're going to take a huge step back just because the system they run is very quarterback-friendly. When you've got 5 wide receivers, typically you can find one pretty quick. So I like the Jets there. My number 3 is where I like the Green Bay Packers. You know, White Lightning, Mr. Jordy Nelson, when he's on the field, it's a different ball game. So Jordy, Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery, the kid last year who kind of disappointed. What was it? Oh, Davante Adams. So it's pretty deep over there as well. Jeff Janis came out in the playoffs also towards the end of the season there. So, yeah, they're really deep there. And then we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to finish with the top five receivers. And then we're probably gonna let you go, and I'll go on to fantasy football tips, unless you want to stick around for that, T. That's completely up to you. But if you got to go, you got to go, bud. We'll be right back to Train of Thought.
Have your glasses ever slid off your face to the ground? Better yet, have they ever slid off your face and into the toilet? Ah! Have you ever had to take your finger and push your glasses up on your nose? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we have the perfect solution for you. Introducing Glass Slippers. Glass Slippers are slip-resistant temple grips that are made out of waterproof silicone rubber that slide onto the edges of the temple tips of your eyewear. The material allows them to stretch and conform to any size frames, give you one size that fits all. They were created to reduce the slippage of your glasses and to help with the comfort and style of your eyewear. Glass Slippers eyewear grips come in 10 different colors and are on $8.95. Buy now and receive 30% off by using our promotional code, Radio Rock. Again, that code is Radio Rock. The website again is www.glassslippers.com.
This Sports Addict segment is brought to you by Sunrise Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. Owner Louis Sardi has more than 20 years of professional cleaning experience. They provide you with the highest quality service at the best price possible here in the Las Vegas area. Lou Sardi and his team provide service that is well beyond their competitors. The services provided are carpet and upholstery cleaning, carpet repair, odor removal, and tile and grout cleaning, and they work Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. To contact Sunrise Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning, dial 702-454-5393 or go over to sunrisecarpetupholsterycleaning.com.
All right, welcome back to Train of Thought. I'm here with T. Brooks. You still here, T? You still here, T?
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
All right, bud. Why don't you just spitball your one and two, and then we'll wrap this one up.
All right. Yeah, I wanted to tell you real quick, too. I had some others that were kind of in that top 10-ish area, too. Just some honorable mentions that I'm going to throw out there. With the Carolina Panthers, when Benjamin comes back, they'll definitely be nice. I like Jacksonville Jaguars. Say it again.
I had Teddy Gitt on my fantasy team last year, so that worked out a couple games.
Right. And I had Green Bay up there. It's just Jordy Nelson coming off of that knee injury, and who knows if Randall Cobb is really the Randall Cobb that we saw last year. But I had them, you know, pretty high up there. Like I said, Jacksonville with Hearns and Robinson, that's going to be something to deal with.
That was my six. It was initially between them and the Redskins, I suppose, for number five.
Yeah, but it's a lot, definitely a lot of nice combos out there. So it's kind of, you know, I don't want to be slighting some people, but it's, you know, when you with the task of what you think. You know, you just go on how you feel until they get on the field
and I really
don't know.
Yeah, I'm more about depth. Like, more of these guys towards the top have a lot of depth compared to just maybe a couple really good receivers, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of my train of thought.
Yeah. Well, at number two, I'll go with the Arizona Cardinals, with Fitzgerald, Floyd, my guy, what is my, his name just slipped my mind,
John Brown?
Brown, yeah, John Brown.
Well, and
I mean,
Jerron Brown.
Yeah, and I mean,
Jerron
Brown, just, yeah, just with that, they definitely have, and I think they're more dependent on who's going to be throwing the ball to them is going to make the difference there, but they definitely are, they're going to be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then with my number one team is Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
I know Brian is out for the year.
That's not good.
Yeah, but I mean Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably call him the best.
He's the best receiver in football. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean because what he does especially after the catch is just it's amazing. I mean, it's not like he has to catch the ball down the field. He can play that somewhat slot-type receiver and catch it over the middle, and next thing you know, he's in the end zone. You know, he might take a 5-yard slant and take it to the house. I mean, it's just and with Wheaton, I just, you know, if Brian was there, they would definitely be unmistakably number one because he has that talent.
Sure.
That, you know, if he can stop smoking weed.
That's why, yeah, I know, right? That's why I have them at number two, though, the Pittsburgh Steelers, because Marcus Wheaton, he did have that game where he went over 200 yards on the Seahawks. Antonio was actually initially shut down, which was pretty impressive. But Marcus Wheaton took the top off it for over 200 yards. And, you know, I'm sure we'll see some games like that. But they do also have, you know, Sammy Coates. I believe they still have Darius Hayward Bay, right? So, I mean, they're pretty deep in that category.
Yeah, I think he is still there. I'm not sure about Hayward Bay.
Either them or the Colts, I can't remember. But either which way, even without Butterfingers, they're still the number two. But I gotta give it to the Cardinals though, considering Larry Fitzgerald is an all-time legend at this point. He's about to log his 13th season in the NFL or the 14th. But either way, he's got a total of, I think, 21 drops in 13 years. So he's going to go down as one of the best of all time, along with, you know, obviously you already said Michael Floyd and John Brown. So I don't have to repeat names, but I guess I just favor that group over your number one Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's okay. Like I said, it's all on opinion anyhow, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both of them, we had them both right there, you know, one and two. But like I said, it's a lot of nice tandems, I would say, in the NFL. And then some, like you say, some of the other receiving corps are a little more deep, you know, a little more deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have the Redskins a little higher is because of that depth, and, you know, with
sure.
Doxson and Crowder. And then with some of the young guys, Ryan Grant, if he can get himself together and stop falling down on routes. And, you know, just Rashad Ross, if he's a speedster, but he, for some reason, doesn't get the playing time. And I don't know if it's just because he doesn't practice well or when the limited times that he's in there, he doesn't separate or something, you know. It's kind of one of those things. But I think the the Redskins are pretty deep, and I know that's me looking at it right here and, you know, a lot deeper than I look at other teams, but I guess that's just my fan bias. I know how deep they actually are.
I had him at number five, so, as soon as Josh Doctson really gets his feet wet and hits the ground running, I mean, that's what everybody's hoping for anyhow, then we could be talking about even higher, because you got the quarterback. Kirk Cousins is the man there. I mean, there's no doubting his situation now, and that's been his problem the whole time. How can you feel confident when you're going out there with a question mark above your head whether or not you're going to start the next week? They went into the offseason saying Kirk is our guy. RG3 was still on the roster. They said Kirk is our guy, and look what happened. So now they're getting the pieces around him, and I think it's going to be something to watch, definitely in Washington for the next, you know, the foreseeable future until something bad happens, I suppose.
Well, that's the thing too. The core guys here are basically just under contract for this year. Unless we get something done before the season or during the season, but Deshaun Jackson and Pierre Garçon, both of them are, you know, they could be gone next year.
I've already said that I believe this is both of their last seasons there. So either it's a magical ride for them, or they're just helping to pave the way for the younger guys. So either way, they Pierre Garçon had a better run than Deshaun has so far, unless you take value in that great game he had against the Eagles, and that just kind of vaults his value up a little bit. But, you know, that was a pretty good game. I believe Kirk Cousins was a quarterback for that game, right? This was a couple of years ago?
With the Deshaun, the first.
When they went back and forth?
Yeah. Yeah, they ended up losing that game in Philly.
Yeah.
But he did have a real good game, and Deshaun Jackson did, because the second go-around, I'm trying to think. It might have been RG3 that was the quarterback that second go-around.
Right.
That wasn't pretty game.
But
they squeaked out the win.
Kirk had his moments. He had his moments, his bad moments, he had his good moments, and then they finally said, all right, let's see what you do with 16 games. And we saw what he did with 16 games. So you should be happy going forward, seeing that it seems like you found your quarterback. You will have to pay him. You know, that's the thing. But like I said, Pierre and Deshaun, you paid them pretty good money, you know, not cheap. So you're gonna free some space up there. Are you sticking around for fantasy football, or should I send you off, buddy?
Well, I have to get off. I'll definitely be listening in, but I have a couple things I got to tend to, so.
Awesome. Okay, that's fine, T. Thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. It was really fun talking to you for this half hour.
All right. Well, definitely good being on with you, and I'll be enjoying the rest of the show.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Okay, so next thing we're going to get into is a couple fantasy football tips going into the 2016 season, because trends do change year to year, depending on who gets injured and stuff like that. So free agency changes, you know, there's multiple things. Where do you take rookies? So the first thing I want to point out, initially I'm going to just kind of target the first round for these first couple tips that I want to throw out here. Number one, if I see anybody take anybody other than Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and David Johnson in the first round, you can kind of flip between Adrian Peterson and David Johnson, but I think at the end of the day, in a lot of drafts, one of those two are going to go in the top of the second. I don't think that's off the wall crazy thing to say. Adrian Peterson, he does have a, you know, you don't want to doubt it, but at the same time, history and numbers and over the age of 30 and such, you know, as a fantasy football owner, you do kind of have to be skeptical in a way. So I don't see any, you know, Todd Gurley's going to get, you know, 300, about 300 carries, probably more, maybe. So we see what he can do, obviously, just in his rookie year. You got to believe he's going to take, you know, a next step. I don't think that's a ceiling for Todd Gurley. So his value is exponential in fantasy football, considering the thin overall pool of fantasy running backs just this year. Like I said, this is 2016. So I don't think Devontae Freeman is worth a first-round pick. I don't think Doug Martin is worth a first-round pick. And I hate to say it because I'm all about those Chiefs, but I don't think Jamaal Charles is worth a first-round pick. But if he comes back to form and somebody gets him in the second or third, then that'll be a great value pick. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell, he's going to be taken in the top, you know, in the first round. There's no – I don't think there's any way around that. When he is – obviously, he had a devastating injury that never helps. But when he's on the field, he's the best running back in football. And I think I feel confident about saying that over Adrian Peterson. And, you know, when you say the best running back in football, then typically that means the best fantasy running back too. I mean, the best running backs put up the best numbers put up the best fantasy. So touchdowns are all there for Le'Veon too. So it's not like he just piles on yards and receptions, but he's the best value running back in the NFL. Todd Gurley starts catching more balls, then we're talking differently about him. Adrian Peterson, he's always been kind, you know, he's always been that runner. You're not going to rely on him to get 45, 50 catches, I suppose, a year. That's probably not going to happen on a yearly basis. At least I don't think. I mean, if I pull up the stats, I don't think I'm going to see that. So, you know, we're going to talk about fantasy football, and if you're in a PPR league, or even if you're not and you're still getting those yards, then, you know, obviously Le'Veon's value is higher than these couple other guys. But David Johnson is also in that conversation of having that aspect to his game, being able to catch the ball fluently and, you know, at will, coming off of blocks. And, you know, he's everything that Arians wanted him to be. And, you know, he's probably going to just get better. It's worth taking a gamble on him, considering he led the NFL in all-purpose yards from whatever week he started to the end of the NFC Championship game, where they obviously lost. But he was still the best player on their team in that game. So there's definitely good things to look forward to. David Johnson, like I said, it's like a 3A and 3B with Adrian Peterson and David Johnson. But Gurley and Le'Veon are definitely worth first-round picks. You know, Le'Veon will probably go in the top five. Gurley, not much after him, if not right there. So, you know, initially it's not, you know, it is because the running back pool is thin, but at the same time, the wide receivers are really taking the next step. There's guys that we weren't talking about last year that are, you know, getting really, really strong considerations for first round picks. One of which will get picked in the first round. That's DeAndre Hopkins. You know, I got Julio Jones in the third round 2 years ago, and he went in the second last year, or maybe he went in the first in my hometown draft here, where we get together and do it. But either which way, he's going in the first round. He's going in the top five, if not the second. I mean, the top three in any draft, in my opinion, should go Antonio, Julio, and Odell. And he can probably flip-flop Julio and Odell, but that's my next tip. If you get the first overall pick, don't think twice about it. Just take Antonio Brown. Don't even think about it. If you get the first pick, just scratch down Antonio Brown. Don't go through your book. Don't look for stuff. Who should I take? It's Antonio Brown. He's the best wide receiver in football. And, you know, translating to fantasy, obviously it's huge. It's huge fantasy value. And compared to running backs, you're just going to want the best receiver over the best running back. And that's what it's coming down to. But if it doesn't come down to that, it comes down to who you think's the best wide receiver. And if you don't think the best wide receiver is Antonio Brown, then I think you're not watching football close enough. The man's he's on a pace that I'm not sure if we've seen before as far as the amount of catch. Some people don't even realize that he was just, I think it was 6 catches away from Marvin Harrison's single-season reception record, which I believe is 144, held by Marvin Harrison. And he's also, ever since he became the guy, which was 2011, so we're talking about 11, 12, 13, 14, and just this past year, 15, that's 5 years, he's been nothing but destroying the NFL. And the thing about it is, I mean, this isn't really translating to fantasy football. It's just me kind of ranting about his craft. Is he does things that you don't see. Like, let's take, for example, guys of his stature. He's not the biggest guy on the field. Everybody knows that. But he's got heart. I know that's a cheesy thing to say, but you can see it after the catch, and that's where a couple of these elements where you can compare him to the GOAT, Jerry Rice. I mean, his routes are impeccable. That's why he can get open in such a short space in the end zone, and Big Ben just puts it on because he knows that he's going to break free from whoever's across from him, and he can just put it in a spot where he knows Antonio's going to be at. So, I mean, everybody else is playing checkers and they're playing chess when it comes to throwing the football around with Antonio and Big Ben. Even, you know, when Big Ben went out, his production did slip a little bit. But at the end of the day, Bill led the NFL in receptions. Julio beat him out in yards. But I believe he still had more touchdowns than Julio. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel comfortable about that, I think. So that's first, just to review the couple tips throwing out there for fantasy football this next year going into the draft. You know, obviously it's all draft oriented. Nobody's been drafted at, you know, in your major leagues, I don't think, because if any money leagues draft before, you know, the last couple weeks of preseason, then, you know, injuries pop up all over the place and you're just wasting your time. So, you know, first and foremost, if you got the first overall pick, take Antonio Brown. That's the first one. Second of all, when it comes to the running back situation in the first round, it's Gurley, it's Le'Veon, and there's a 3A and a 3B. That's David Johnson and Adrian Peterson. You can flip them top of the second or the bottom of the first, but that's about where they should go. And the third one I want to get to real quick is where is the dynamic of tight ends? You know, you can see it trending upward these past, I don't know, 5-7 years or so as far as red zone threats and really getting the ball to tight ends these past couple of years. Is there going to be a big emphasis on where you want to take them in your draft? I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to say no. Me personally, I scratch Gronkowski off my draft board every year. For me, I don't want to take. I know he's head and shoulders the best tight end in the NFL, and having the best of a position on your team is good. But if you can, I mean, let's be real, 2 top 10 wide receivers, in which you could miss out on one if you took Rob Gronkowski, is going to outweigh the best tight end and, let's say, a really good wide receiver and a really good running back or something. So, I'm not a big fan of taking tight ends high. I typically try to go out and get a late pick. I drafted Travis Kelce, I think it was, 2 years ago when he, before anybody really even knew who he was, he tore up the preseason. I tried telling people, not just because I'm a Chiefs fan, but I tried telling people, look out for this guy. He's going to hit the scene this year. I took him in the 13th round, just kind of stashed him on my bench, and by about week 5 is when he started putting up good numbers for me, and he started for me ever since. I even drafted him last year. I'd like to see more red zone work out of Travis Kelce, because he does have the body to do it, being, a huge fighting guy. The Boondock Saints reference there. but I don't feel like Andy Reid's utilizing him in the red zone like he should be when it comes to, you see what Jimmy Graham has done. You see what Tyler Eifert did last year. Obviously, Rob Gronkowski does it week in and week out. Box out and grab the football. You got a frame for it, and that's why this trend is going upward. But where is the fantasy stock going upwards as well? So I don't know if this is more or less a tip, but more like a tip off. Like, be careful, right? So just be careful on where you take your tight end. I wouldn't stretch, after Gronkowski is going to go in the first, second round. Somebody's going to pick him. Where's the other guys going? You shouldn't stretch for Jordan Reed. I mean, he had a good year last year, but that was that was his career high in games started, and that was 14. He even missed games last year. There's not, it's hard to put trust in that. Put in your fantasy team. Let's say somebody wants to take the next best tight end in the late third. I think that's pretty high. Me, personally, I'm more shape out my core running backs and wide receivers and then worry about that stuff. It's worked out well for me. I mean, I also trade a lot, but that's for a different day. I can go on for a while about that, but that's kind of where I made my money was trades last year, and it got me a championship in my league. So, but when it comes to the draft, I have a 4th-round grade on Kelce and Reed. That's basically me thinking I'm going to have my best, the best 2 wideouts I can possibly get and the best running back I can possibly get. And then going tight end. This is kind of where you can go, you could probably get a really good quarterback here, or you can get, another pretty good running back. But if you can get a really good tight end, I think a really good tight end outweighs a pretty good running back at this point in the 4th round. And I think the guy's worthy of this potential as far as the 4th, maybe even 5th, guys like Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed, and Tyler Eifert, maybe Delanie Walker. I'm not sure if Kelvin Benjamin coming back is going to hinder Greg Olsen's production. Things they do want a lot out of him this year. But Greg Olsen, he's been good. He's been outstanding in Carolina. You know, he wasn't a standout in Chicago, but I bet they're missing him. You know, he really hit his stride in Carolina. I don't think that's any debate. So, you know, I'd look at Greg Olsen in the fifth round. He is getting up there in age as well. So that's also something else to, you know, look out for. But, you know, those are essentially the three tips I want to throw out there for going into next season, your next 2016 fantasy draft. Just consider them. You know, I'm not demanding you do this stuff, but just from my train of thought, I think Antonio is the standout. He's the number one. If you're in a PPR, there's no debate. You should take Antonio. And it's the easiest pick in the last, I don't know, it's been a while since the number one was pretty clear cut on who should be taken the next year. Le'Veon felt like the guy last year, and I know he was actually taken number one in my league last year, but Antonio was taken number two. So he could have easily went number two. And then after that is Gurley, Le'Veon, David Johnson, only guys who should be considered in the first round. Too many question marks around Dougie Fresh, the Muffle Hamster, and Mr. Devontae Freeman. You know, Jamaal Charles typically goes in the first round. That's not happening this year. I don't think it should anyway. And then finally, where do you take tight ends this year? And it's, and I said it, I'm not really giving you a tip, but I'm just giving you guys a tip off. I'm just tipping you off. Maybe be cautious on where you want to take your tight ends. Because if you overreach for one and you get burnt by it, you know, because the tight end game does fluctuate. You know, guys just kind of pop up and then disappear. You know, Tyler Eifert, he's had plenty of injury history. He's not really consistent, if you ask me. But, you know, Kelsey's put up over 70 catches and over 800 yards. You know, that's good for the tight end position. You know, he needs to break that double-digit, you know, touchdown mark. But, you know, I think that's more on the coaching staff. So right now we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to probably talk a little solo, and then we're going to get into the fan block. We're going to bring on Mr. Austin, I believe it's pronounced Suter. It might be pronounced Sutter. I'll ask him when we come back to Train of Thought.
Have your glasses ever slid off your face to the ground? Better yet, have they ever slid off your face and into the toilet? Ah! Have you ever had to take your finger and push your glasses up on your nose? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we have the perfect solution for you. Introducing Glass Slippers. Glass Slippers are slip-resistant temple grips that are made out of waterproof silicone rubber that slide onto the edges of the temple tips of your eyewear. The material allows them to stretch and conform to any size frames, give you one size that fits all. They were created to reduce the slippage of your glasses and to help with the comfort and style of your eyewear. Glass Slippers eyewear grips come in 10 different colors and are on $8.95. Buy now and receive 30% off by using our promotional code, Radio Rocks. Again, that code is Radio Rocks. The website again is www.glassslippers.com.
When I want to listen to sports on the radio, I know there's only one place to turn to. A place that has all the latest and greatest news on my favourite teams. A place that is just as exciting as watching the real game itself. and that's with the Sports Hawks on Blog Talk Radio. Join hosts Will Hawkins, Brian Rojas and T. Brooks as they debate the sports topics in the greater DC, Maryland and Virginia area with real sports fans just like you who call in to talk sport. Do you want to chat with your favourite hosts? To listen or be part of the Sports Hawks, dial 646-378-1303. And who knows, maybe you'll end up on the radio too. The Sports Hawks, only on Sports Addicts Radio. You are listening to Sports Addicts Radio, the best in sports and memorabilia. To listen in, go over to sportsaddicts.com and click on the show. Or to listen and be part of the show, simply dial 646-378-1303.
All right, welcome back to Train of Thought with your host, Tyler Payne. And right now, I'm going to introduce a new segment I like to call Fan Block. And this is, I'm going to donate a block of time and just kind of get inside the mind of a random hardcore NFL fan and just kind of see what he's about and get to meet a fan. So right now, I want to bring on Austin and And it's Austin, is it Sutter or Suter?
It's Suter.
Austin Suter. How you doing, man? Welcome to Train of Thought and being my first guest in the fan block.
Right on. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, we're not all about sports here. Some, you know, we do have a humanitarian side. So I just want to know kind of about you. Just kind of tell everybody, you know, what you do and kind of a couple of like passions, if you will.
Right, right. So basically, sports is my passion, obviously, but I'm looking toward getting into a career. I like to be a sportscaster or a sports talk radio host. And I listen to shows around Kansas City, and especially on 610 every day, and call in every once in a while and give my opinion on what I think and what's going on in the sports world and so forth. it's not easy to – I thought I knew sports, but there's a lot more to it than people know and people think. But hopefully I can get there.
Absolutely. You know, I got I was interested by, I went through a couple people's, quite a few people's Twitter pages, just like check out their bio and maybe flip through their timeline a little bit. You know, I've seen, most of these people on my timeline. So, I kind of knew what they were about a little bit, and you being one of which, so... I saw some of your tweets and nothing was like too outlandish, and I don't want to bring on obviously somebody who's going to be, not level headed with their sports takes, just spewing out, bar stool talk, you seemed like you knew what you were talking about. So I wanted to come on and have you come on and talk to me a little bit and kind of tell people what you're about. And now I want to get to what your favorite teams are and maybe your favorite player from that team that's on the team right now. Any sport, that's fine.
Any sport, okay. Chiefs, obviously NFL. Hometown team. Chiefs. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, we just need that Super Bowl, hopefully, to get over the hump, but we'll see what happens. But anyway, favorite player.
I'll play with
you. God. I love Kelce, though. Probably Kelce and Jamal, of course.
Right. Do you go basketball?
What's up?
I said, do you go basketball and baseball and such?
Oh, yeah, baseball, basketball, football. Those are my main ones. I try to watch golf and all that, but that stuff's pretty tough to follow. But basketball...
You can say it's pretty boring. I mean, if...
Yeah.
I mean, you can be honest with your takes as long as it's not crazy.
Right.
I think baseball is boring. That's just me. I've tried to sit down and watch 9 innings. If it goes to extra innings, then I don't even know what people do. Do they really sit in front of their TV for that long and watch baseball?
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable, especially I'll be into it if it's the Royals or playoffs or
mm-hmm.
World Series, but, of course, Joe Buck is all right, oh. But that dude just gets annoying as hell, honestly.
Sure. So who's your favorite? Obviously, Royals are your favorite team. Who's your favorite player on the Royals right now? I don't know much about the Royals, but, listeners probably want to know.
Right. Favorite player, Eric Hosmer. I know he's been pretty good this year, but our young guys, Brett Eibner and Chesler Cuffert, along with Whit Merrifield, who's been on a tear lately. He was 0-for-4 last night, and I think he went 1-for-3 or 1-for-4 today against the Mets. But he's done pretty well. He's taken over for Gordo and Moustakas, who's obviously out for the season with his torn ACL. But Gordo should be back here pretty soon. I know he's doing his rehab in Arkansas.
So are you, obviously there's no Kansas City basketball teams. So who's your favorite basketball team?
Professional, you mean?
Yeah. Or you can go college too. I mean, if you like college too, spitball it, man. We're trying to get to know Austin, man.
Right. No, you're good. Not a KU fan. I like K-State, but they've been up and down, so it's kind of hard to get on their
mm-hmm.
good side.
Football and basketball, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Football and basketball. Yeah, football especially.
Well, around here in Clinton, Iowa, there's some. Honestly, there's some Iowa football fans and some Iowa State basketball fans because Iowa State's basketball has been so good. Their football team is nothing to brag about on any level. I think their best player in the NFL right now is maybe A.J. Klein. He plays for the Panthers, at linebacker. But, it's tricky. And, KU, I can understand it, kind of saying you're a Kansas State fan around there, I'm sure you get some looks and some laughs from those University of Kansas folk. Hashtag rock chalk.
Oh yeah, especially during basketball season, it's kind of rough. But whenever we beat KU and Bramlage, it feels good. But once we watch it when they play at Allen Fieldhouse, they have no chance. They basically show up intimidated, and we're KU's little brother, obviously, especially with Missouri not in the big
mm-hmm.
club anymore.
Right. There's not, with this one-and-done deal lately, I don't know if Kansas State really has that caliber program, obviously, to bring in one-and-done players, but is there a player that played, because I'm not familiar with origins of in players from Kansas State. Do you know maybe the best NBA player to come out of Kansas State?
As far as one and done or being there a couple of years?
Just your opinion. Who do you think was the best basketball player to play at Kansas State?
Obviously, the best player to play out of Kansas State was Mitch Richmond. I know he played early with in 1988 or 89. I know he just recently got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Michael Beasley, obviously, back a couple years ago, he was the number second overall pick in the draft behind Derrick Rose. He was the best
for
one
the
done.
Grizzlies, right?
Miami Heat.
Oh, okay. You know, football, on the other hand, they've had some good players come out. You know, I don't know if, you know, do you have a personal favorite from watching them or maybe a guy in the history books or something?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got Darren Sproles.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously plays for the Eagles. Terrence Newman, he's on Bengals. I feel like I'm missing somebody. There's some other ones, though. Tyler Lockett, obviously.
Okay, real quick. Real quick. The Tyler Lockett thing. I was obviously, I think it was pretty safe to say that he was one of the most electrifying players in that draft. Just people, you know, it felt kind of limited on his NFL skill set. So,
right.
You know, Tyler Lockett, his dad played for Kansas City. He was supposed to be drafted by the Chiefs, okay? His dad played for us. You know, obviously he went to Kansas State. He played close. And we were talking to him the whole way. And then what do you know? The Seattle Seahawks trade above us and take Tyler Lockett in the third round last year. And I don't know if I've ever been so mad at any aspect of any of our drafts to date that I can remember. But I was so mad that we missed out on a guy like that because, mark my words, he's going to be something special, even if it's not – I mean, I don't think it's going to be strictly to the punt return and kick return game because look what he did as a receiver down the stretch last year. He made some catches that shouldn't have been catchable in big moments. So I can imagine that you have plenty to say about him watching him play at Kansas State.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he definitely jumped off the TV screen, definitely, especially when you go see his games live in Manhattan. At the
you did
Tom
that
Bryan,
often?
I did sometimes. My brother goes up to K-State, and my dad went there, so we go to a few of them. The most recent one I went to was the TCU game, which we should have won, but we obviously didn't because they're the better team.
they've had some good games, but, you know, I haven't made it to Kinnick, you know, the Iowa Hawkeyes, but I've been to Arrowhead Stadium, and now we're going to switch the focus over to the Chiefs because I'm all about those Chiefs, and we can talk for days, but have you been there? Have you experienced what me and many others have experienced yet?
For sure. Yeah, I haven't been. Actually, no, I went to the Cleveland game last year. I had tickets to the Denver game, the Thursday night one, but ended up
mm-hmm.
something came up, so I wasn't able to go to that one. But yeah, I try to go at least every year a couple times, but tickets are so expensive, it's tough to get, but that's how the NFL makes their money, so can't blame them.
I get, you know, I don't care where I sit when I go. So when I get the high seats, I typically pay $25-$30. So that's not bad, you know, considering I'm 6 hours away from there. So I've done a round trip a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm fairly young. So I just started going, you know, after I got out of my parents' house and started making my own money. And then I was able to go. You know, my parents never took me. So you know, that was always something for me to strive for was, man, I got to make it to Arrowhead. And it's nothing like anything else that I can imagine at any other venue. And just the vibe in the air before the game, during the game, and after the game, depending on if we win and if it went well, is unmatched. And obviously you were there for a win with Cleveland. So can you just kind of describe maybe a couple moments that really stick out for you being at that facility, in those stands?
Yeah, you can. It's almost like when you feel the building shake around you, and then especially when the national anthem starts, they do the Home of the Chiefs, and everybody goes crazy, and then they kick off.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh yeah, there's nothing like it. I've always wanted to go to Mile High and other stadiums. Also Lambeau Field, never got to go.
I don't know. I told my brother a couple times, my dad's a Bears fan. I don't think if I'm going anywhere else other than Arrowhead Stadium, unless it's conference championship or something. But, you know, the next closest AFC team might be, what, Indianapolis to where I'm at in Clinton, Iowa. So, you know, that's a pretty decent drive from where I'm at. But, you know, Arrowhead Stadium, you know, I don't want to be anywhere else to watch a football game. You know, I want to be surrounded by my people, you know, Chiefs family, the kingdom, you know. It's definitely like a family feeling when you're there, and especially if, I don't know, you know, I didn't even ask you, how old are you, Austin?
24.
Okay, so you've been able to tailgate properly then, maybe.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yes.
Is what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, I mean, have you seen the videos that come out of Buffalo? The Bills Mafia? Have you seen that ridiculousness that goes on there?
It's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah, I've seen it. Oh yeah.
It's just, you know, people are completely obliterated, drunk. You know, I didn't walk around the whole entire parking lot of Arrowhead Stadium, but there was nothing like that. You know, it just felt like one big party, one big atmosphere that you could literally. Because I did it. I had my 4-year-old or my 3-year-old daughter with me, and we were literally just walking, and so many people said, oh, can she have this? Can she have a brownie? Can she have a cookie? And everyone was so, you know, welcoming, and that's kind of what you want to feel when you go to an event like this. And so me personally, for an avid Chiefs fan, you know, bleeding red and yellow, And also having, you know, to my standard, I think I have good values and I respect people when they respect me and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's really cool to just go to a random spot and everybody's interested in one thing, and then, you know, strangers will be family. You know, it's just different, I feel. I haven't been anywhere else, but like I said, I don't want to. So, I mean, have you met X Factor? Just a random question. He's at every game, obviously. But do you know who I'm talking about, X Factor?
X Factor, yeah. I've seen him a bunch. I never got to go up and meet him. I actually wanted to last time, but I couldn't actually get to him because everybody is talking to him and everybody's around him. And he's probably the most loyal and passionate guy fan there. Guy's always been there for years and ever since early
Absolutely.
80s or however he's
been. Well, I'll tell you what, bud, I'm going to have the opportunity to ask him all those questions when he joins me next week in the Fan Block special edition. We're going to have the X Factor here, and I'm going to be able to ask him whatever question I want, and I might feel a little starstruck, to be honest with you, because I'm just a young buck. you know, I'm a young buck, so I remember being a child and seeing him on TV, and, you know, cameras would find him, you know, and it was just cool to see. And when I eventually went, you know, for I didn't meet him the first time I went, but just last year, I went to the Bears game where a lot of bad stuff went down. We lost Jamal for the year. We lost to the Bears in the final 5 minutes, choked up 2 touchdowns in front of my eyes. You know, it was pretty sad, but my daughter, he gave her one of his cards and he signed it. He's got like player cards or something, you know, and he signed it and gave it to her, and we still have it here at my house. And I'm really excited to have him on. So, you know, if you wanted to, if you had a question for him or something, I can definitely relay that or even have you on again to maybe ask him a question or something.
Yeah, that sounds great, man. Whatever. Sounds good to me. I'm down for that.
Yeah, and he's also done, you know, to my knowledge, he's also done plenty of stuff in the community as well.
Right, yeah.
So I'll
go ahead.
No, what were you saying? You know a little bit more about it?
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, I've heard him around the community, like you said, as well. Piggyback off that. And he's so well known, and he's, like I said, he's probably the most passionate Chiefs fan and leader that we have in our kingdom. You probably won't find anybody else like that, for sure.
Right, and that's why I'm so excited. you know, when I say that I'm about it and I get starstruck over just meeting a fan, you know, you can kind of see where my level is here. But, you know, it's up to you, but do you want to stick around for the great debate, or do you want me to send you off?
How's the great debate work? What do you guys do there?
Basically, there's two sides, and today's topic, for example, when I had Seth on, the great debate was more valuable in today's NFL, left tackle or the cornerback position. But today, do you think in 2016 Cam regresses or progresses? Do you think last year was his ceiling? Do you think he gets better, or do you think he takes a step back this season? So, you know, you can kind of make an argument for both, but if you want to stick around and we can jump right into it, actually, but it's up to you, bud.
Yeah, no, I'll stay around, definitely. It sounds good to me. I'm in for that.
All right. We'll just jump right in then. All right, this was a great debate on Train of Thought with Tyler Payne, and Austin is going to stick around with me. We're going to take a quick station break, and then we will be right back.
You are listening to Sports Addicts Radio, the best in sports and memorabilia. To listen in, go over to sportsaddicts.com and click on the show. Or to listen and be part of the show, simply dial 646-378-1303.
Are you trying to get crazy with this thing? Don't you know I'm loco?
All right, welcome back to Train of Thought. We are not going to go insane in the membrane, but we will investigate each other's membranes in the great debate. And today, tonight, depending on when you're going to listen to this, we have about 10 minutes here, and we're going to go with you first. I want to hear your opinion first on whether or not you think Cam progresses. His ceiling was not last year because he did put up career highs, or he regresses. Take it away, Austin.
I think Cam will progress. I think he'll learn from last year, and also he'll get Kelvin Benjamin back from his ACL, which he was out for the year. He said he wasn't going to dab anymore, which is probably a good thing, so he can, you know, I don't mind him showboating and all that, but I don't mind. I just don't think he should do it all the time and focus more on the X's and O's of the game and not, you know, celebrate and be in a good mood when he's happy. Like for the Super Bowl, he just stood on the sidelines while Denver was doing their thing. And then even when the fumble happened, he just stood there. And I'm sure he didn't want to get hurt, but you're the quarterback. You got to take your, your shot. You're the franchise quarterback. You can't just sit there. Your teammates are going to think less of you. And then even after the Super Bowl with his press conference, I know he was mad and pissed off, but I get it, but it's unacceptable. It happens, but it's,
well,
you gotta have
saying that he's a different man. He's a different man after walking out on that press conference after the Super Bowl. So, you know, I don't know about all that, you know. So, there's something else you wanted to make a point about him progressing this year?
Yeah, like I said, I think he'll learn from it, the experience, and come back even stronger. I mean, you can ask LeBron. Look at him. He failed in the finals all those times, and he came back stronger and better and with a better mindset, and he put the pressure on himself, and he won the championship. So everybody doubted him.
Is that your Super Bowl pick?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Is that your Super Bowl pick? I mean, you just compared LeBron losing, and then he just won the title. So are you saying Cam Newton is going to win the title this year?
Oh, no. I got to see more. No, I don't think so. Not this year.
No, me neither. And I think it's going to be in large part of his regression. On my end, I think he will regress just because, let's look, his career highs, can you, off the top of your head, I mean, I have the numbers here, but can you tell me what his career high was before last year in touchdown passes?
Touchdown passes? I would say 40.
No. His career high, he hit it last year, is 33 or 35. But his career high before this season was 24. His career high in touchdown passes in a season was 24 before this season. And I know what you're saying about Kelvin Benjamin, because that kind of seems to be the take, you know. You know, Kelvin Benjamin is coming back, so it is a good take. You know, it's a safe one, but, you know, I personally don't think that, because this is a team game now, you know, this isn't just a Cam show, and that defense did a lot for them. And if you tell me that Josh Norman doesn't have that impact on their team, then you might be lying to yourself, because good secondaries and great cornerbacks force issues in the offense, and that's what Josh Norman did. They don't have a guy like that this year. I don't think you can point to a single guy in the secondary and say, you know what, that's a really good player. You know, they got Roman Harper, who's like a dinosaur in the NFL nowadays. He was a standout for the Super Bowl winning New Orleans Saints 100 years ago. So, you know, Kurt Coleman is kind of a outcast. You know, he was brought in just last year and kind of fed off of what Josh Norman did for them. What's that?
I was going to say former chief, by the way.
Yes. And you know what? I wasn't surprised that he balled out, because in the limited snaps he did with us, he was fairly productive. But you're not going to see that again this year. He's not that good of a safety. He definitely fed off of what, you know, it's just, you know, if you, obviously you're you're an avid NFL fan, so you know what I'm talking about. Great secondaries force issues that, you know, otherwise wouldn't happen, you know, unless you have a really good pass rush. But, you know, when you get turnovers, you get opportunities for the offense, and I just don't think Cam's going to have as many opportunities. So that kind of leads to regression. So I'm on that side, and, you know, there isn't any winner or loser, you know, in the great debate. It's just, you know, throwing our opinions out there. And when it comes to regression, I don't think he's going to match that touchdown total this year. You know, he's always thrown for an uber amount of yards. You know, he always runs for touchdowns and such, but maybe not throw for as much this year. You know, 30, you know, that's not a big regression, but at the same time, it's still technically a regression. So, I mean, that's a good season, 30 touchdowns, but that's not obviously surpassing his career high. So, if you had to put a number on it real quick, how many do you think he would throw next year?
Next year, I would probably say do 28, 27. I forgot that Josh Norman wasn't there. I forgot he got traded to Washington, and Thomas Davis is getting older, and Keekly's a beast. But, you know, like you said, Josh Norman's a big loss, so that's going to really affect him. And Arizona is probably going to challenge him for the division this year.
Say that again?
I was saying that I think Arizona will probably challenge Carolina for the division this year.
Oh, no, they play in the with the Saints, the Bucks, and the Falcons in the NFC South.
The NFC, that's right. It's a terrible division. That's right. That's my fault.
No, that's cool. The Cardinals play with the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners. So, just real quick, we got about 2.5 minutes here. So, why don't you go ahead and tell people how they can get a hold of you on social media and such like that?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at AustinSuter316 at AustinSuter316. Or you can email me at Austin. What?
Go ahead.
I was going to say you can email me if you want at Austin.Suter92@gmail.com. And anything you want to talk about, give me a heads up and we'll go from there.
Right. All right. You know, it's always good to meet other NFL fans. And, you know, maybe sometime you can come on and join me for a segment or something, you know. Just keep your line open, and maybe I'll get a hold of you, and you can come join me for a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure, anytime.
All right, bud. Well, you have a good night, and we're going to wrap up train of thought here. And I believe, like I said, next Wednesday we're going to have the X Factor. Avid Chiefs fan, probably the most famous Chiefs fan. So I'm pretty excited about that. And, you know, if any news comes up, you know, we're going to be talking about it. Other than that, this was Train of Thought. I'm Tyler Payne, and have a good night.
All right, thank you.